You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
Bismillahi wa salamu ala Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace be upon you, the mercy of Allah and His blessings. On the 6th day of Zulqa'dah 1441, corresponding to Sunday, the 28th of June 2020. Well, we begin with the Zakat Nisab. It's 6,526 rands and 74 cents. The Mahar of Fatimi is 16,476 rands and 71 cents. And the minimum Mahar is 329 rands and 53 cents. Alhamdulillah wa shukrulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with another opportunity to increase our knowledge this afternoon by listening to the Q&A program. And we take this opportunity to welcome the esteemed listeners locally, nationally, as well as internationally. And we say jazakallah khair to begin with the Amir of Markaz Sahaba, online voice of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and that is Mufti Sahib Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Sahib Hafizahullah, as well as the directors of the radio stations and also to the sound engineers. We say jazakallah khair and thank you to each and every one of them. Mufti Sahib, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum afizwadi, jazakallahu khairan.
Mufti Sahib, many people that have been accredited or had been accredited for Hajj this year are very, very sad, very, very disappointed that unfortunately they're not going to be able to perform Hajj. Are there any actions that they could commit to give them some consolation during this time?
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, without a shadow of doubt, at least those people who perform Hajj before, they know what Hajj is. But what about those people who, for the first time in their life, they're supposed to undertake this journey of love for to Medina Munawwara, Makkah Mukarrama, Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah? Definitely it is something natural that you will be so disappointed. However, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala knows best, and inshallah never lose hope. If we can't go this year, inshallah next year, and keep on reading 2 rakat salat daily, and read Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 128. وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. O beloved Allah, show us the places of Umrah and Hajj. And forgive us, Ya Allah, we are sinners, we are transgressors. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Verily, Ya Allah, you are all forgiving, very, very merciful. In the Ahadith Kitab, we find 3 narrations, different narrations, how you can reap the reward of Hajj. One you can do on a daily basis, and that is look at your father, and look at your father with respect and love. Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you mean that if we look at our father once, we get one reward for Hajj, one Hajj? He said, yes. Then they asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 70 times, meaning many times, several times a day? Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, every time you look at your father with respect and love, so you will reap the reward of Hajj. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Your looking is limited, and Almighty Allah's khazana and treasures are unlimited, subhanallah. So similarly, our mother also, the mother's rank is even greater than the father. So look at your parents with love, O children, grandchildren, and inshallah, daily we will be performing not one Hajj, but several Hajj with the help and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Number 2, perform our Fajr Salat on time, and the men in the masjid as far as possible, the women at home, and thereafter you engage yourself in ibadat and wait till sunrise. Then after sunrise, 14-15 minutes or so, and thereafter you perform 2 rakat Salatul Ishraq. Hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hajjatun wa umratun tamma, tamma, tamma. You will get the complete reward. Thrice Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the word tamma, reward of a umrah and hajj. So imagine that will be also a daily exercise. Allah jalla wa ala grant us tawfiq. Now you, my sister, you're wondering that sometime you might be napak and in your menses and so forth. So then what happens? Remember for male and female hadith in Tirmidhi, if you read Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah 100 times in the morning, 100 times in the evening, we normally read Subhanallah, Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah, so another 33, and Allahu Akbar 34 times. So try and make read Subhanallah 100 times in the morning, 100 times in the evening. Jalla Jalla Wala will grant you 100 had sawab. Subhanallah, the hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif. So therefore, the rewards are all there. But we know we want to be there physically as well. So continue making dua. In life, whatever prevails, always remain positive. Things go according to our woman's fancies, desires, Alhamdulillah. And when it goes against our one's fancies and desires, still praise Allah. Alhamdulillah, ya la kulli hal. Ya Allah, we praise you, ya Allah, in all cases and all circumstances. Insha'Allah, you will see in your dream that you already seeing Makkah Mukarrama, Madina Munawwara. That's a sign that Almighty Allah has given you the reward of Hajj, although you were not there. That is the benevolence, the grace, the mercy of Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala.
JazakAllah khair for that, Mufti Saab. Mufti Saab, is it true that if you sleep after Asr, that weakens your memory?
Remember that when a person makes a statement, we have a usul, a principle in Islam, manidda'a shay'an fa'alayhi dalil, that when you claim something, then you have to cite evidence and bring evidence for that and proof for that. So we do not find evidence for that in Quran Sharif or in the Sunnah Mubarakah, where Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said so. Yes, we find evidence by the Imams, like Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, other Salafi Sali, pious people said that that is the time for Ibadat and so forth. So best is not to sleep, and there's always that fear that if you are going to sleep after Asr, you might even miss your Maghrib Salat. You know how people sleep and wake up then Isha time, Allah forbid. However, to say that it will weaken one's memory and so forth, so we will say that there's no evidence for that, but best is to engage oneself in one's tilawat of Quran Sharif, or to make some dhikr, stay away from vices and sins and so forth and so on. So that is the most important thing. Let me mention 2-3 issues here. If you study Makkah Mukarrama, Madina Munawwara, and you are there now, now it's 48 degrees, 50 degrees there per every day almost. It's mid summer, so hot there because my friends are there and they send me, you know, daily some messages and tell me how's the weather and temperature. So if you read Asr Salat there now and you go to Maghrib Salat, you will find the gap between Asr and Maghrib is 3 hours or more than 3 hours. And when they have the Hifz classes, that is the time you find the students going to class at that time there. So I know when we used to study in Karachi, we used to find some of our asatiza, honorable teachers, used to say that time there you should not study anything because, you know, give your mind a rest. But when you see in Makkah, Medina and all those places where they have the 3 hour gap, you will find that is the time they're studying the most. So therefore, we will say there's absolutely nothing wrong. So therefore, it is mentioned by some ulama, I mentioned to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Nusiba ilay, it is attributed to him, that he said also that the memory could become weak and so forth. But we cannot believe in that and say definitely it will happen. We say the memory becomes weak when a person indulges in sins and vices and so forth. And always when we want to enhance and increase our memory, then read that what Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us on the night of Jumu'ah, Thursday night after Maghrib, after Isha, read Surah Yasin, then read Surah Dukhan, chapter 44 in the 25th Supara, 25th Juz, then Surah Alif Lam Mim Sizda, and then Surah Mulk Tabarak Alladhi. In that sequence there, Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam informed Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala and he says, my memory was weak and then it became so powerful and retentive, fama nasitu ba'd, I should not forget. And we know Al-Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah went to his teacher Waqi bin Jarrah, shakawtu ila Waqi in su'a hifzi, I went to my teacher and complained that my memory is so weak, fa'arshadani ila tarkil ma'asi, and he told me, stay away from vices and sins, fa'innal ilma nurum min ilahi, and you will find that this knowledge, remember, it is radiance, effulgence from Almighty Allah, and remember, this nur and radiance of Allah is not given to people who continue with vices and sins. Just look at this weekend. You see, in Indonesia, yesterday afternoon, past our houses, so many cars hooting and so forth, big celebration. Their soccer team won there in UK or wherever. So imagine now the Hafiz is there, sometime the Maulana is there, sometime the Sheikh is there. So that does not behove a Muslim. What we got to do with all the satanic activities? So people whose life is with wine and swine and all these type of things. So we must remember that we need to stay away from all these satanic activities. If you want the real knowledge of Nur to enter the inner recesses of our heart, these are the things that definitely weaken one's memory. They will know more about soccer and cricket and everything else than they know about Islam. So we need to understand where our priorities and our allegiance lie with.
Do you have any advice for this lady who is due to give birth in 2 months' time, Mufti son?
Allah Jalla Wala make it easy for you, my honorable sister. I hope that you got pen and paper, so write down all these du'as, or maybe you are recording it. Inshallah, my brother Lukolo is here and he will prepare the podcast and then we will send it out to you. So 5-6 du'as I will give you. Number one is from Surah 37. You know Surah Yasin is chapter 36. Surah 37 is Surah Safat, the du'a of Khalilullah Nabi Ibrahim. Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam is in his old age and yet he does not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. So Rabbi habli min as-salihin, Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Oh beloved Allah, grant me pious offspring and children, oh beloved Allah. So imagine Allah Jalla wa'ala blessed him with two sons, Nabi Ismail alayhi salam, Nabi Ishaq alayhi salam. Keep on reading that, you and your husband. Number two, Surah 3 verse 38, a dua of a Nabi, Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam. He is also so old, crying, begging, petitioning Allah, my bones are gone brittle and weak, wa'anul azmu minni, washta'ala ra'asu shayba, my hair is gone grey and whitish, ya Allah. But how he begs Allah, chapter 3, Surah Al-Imran, verse 38, Rabbi abli min ladunka dhurriyatan tayyiba innaka sami'ud du'a. Oh beloved Allah, that you grant me such awlad and offspring that are the coolness of the eyes, ya Allah, that are pure and chaste. So that is the meaning of it. Pure and chaste will bring coolness to your eyes. Innaka sami'ud du'a. Verily you are the one who listens to the du'a and supplication. So chapter 3, Surah 3, verse 38. Thereafter read Surah 21 verse 89. Surah 21 verse 89. Many a time a couple are married 5, 10, 15, 20 years, nothing happening. Still you don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Like Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam, he cried to Allah in his old age. Chapter 21 in the 17th Supara verse 89. Rabbi la tadarni farda wa anta khairul warithin. Oh beloved Allah, do not leave me alone. You are the best one to grant us ease, O Almighty Allah, out of your benevolence and mercy. The fourth one, the Ibadur Rahman, the pious servants, husband, wife, everyone should be reading Surah 25, verse 74. And that is, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun. Oh, beloved Allah, grant us such spouses, grant us such wives and children and husbands, if the lady is making dua, and such children and progeny that will be the coolness of the eyes. Remember, you can see that family living in peace, harmony, tranquility. It's a functional family, and you see other families dysfunctional, Allah forbid. So the criterion, Surah 25, verse 74. Sometimes we hear of the lady once, twice, thrice also, Allah forbid, that she is pregnant and then she has a miscarriage. So you have 2 months left, my sister. So what you going to do? So read Surah 13, Surah Ra'ad, Thunder, Surah Yusuf, chapter 12, Surah 13, Surah Ra'ad, verse number 8. Read this abundantly so you don't have any miscarriage. Everything goes smooth, inshallah. Allahu ya'lamu ma tahmilu kullu untha wa ma taghidu al-arhamu wa ma tazdad. Allah alone knows what the lady is carrying, boy, girl, twins, triplets, and whatever expansion, contraction take place there in the womb. No gynecologist, doctor can give you all the finer details. So only Almighty Allah knows that. Wa kullu shay'in 'indahu bi miqdar. Everything will happen on the appointed time. Chapter 13, verse 8. Last one, or second last one. Remember, you, my sister, now when you come to your last month, last 2-3 weeks, then you must read Surah 21, verse 30, that your labor pains become very easy for you. So your makhad, in Arabic we call makhad, and in English your labor pain, Urdu dardazah. So you must remember that it becomes easy for you, because you know the difficulty a lady goes through. So Surah 21, verse 30, أَوَلَمْ يَرَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ كَانَتَا رَتْقًا. Don't they see the non-Muslims how Almighty Allah created this universe? The heavens and the earth were stuck together. فَفَتَقْنَاهُمَا. And then we separated it. So how the fetus and the mother are like stuck together, Allah Jalla Wala will separate it with ease through His power and kudrat. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Everything has the element of water also in it. Imagine Allah teaching us all this more than 1400 years ago. And I told you one more. Istighfar. Istighfiru Rabbakum. Innahu kana ghaffara. Yursili samaa alaykum midrara. Wa yumdidukum bi amwaliu wa baneen. Oh husband, read Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Oh wife, read Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. And both read Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhanbin wa atubu ilayh. Allah will bless you with good beneficial rain. Allah will increase your wealth for you. Allah will increase you with pious good children. Subhanallah, all divine prescriptions direct from Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. So read that and every day give out some charity. Allah Jalla Wala will bless you with such a son, daughter, that he will be or she will be the paragon of piety and beauty with the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala.
Mufti Sahib, how many times is Masjid al-Haram mentioned in the Qur'an al-Kareem? And Mufti Sahib, also, what is the difference here when it's mentioned Masjid al-Haram and when one says something is haram as well?
MashaAllah, excellent question. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala in the beginning of chapter 17 uses the term Subhanalladhi asra bi 'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam's honorable wife Sayyida Khadija radiyallahu anha had passed away, and Abu Talib was non-Muslim, dispatched to Jahannam. And remember, as mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, he, Abu Talib, Abu Lahab, Abu Jahannam, Jahal, all of them remember in Jahannam, mentioned in Quran Sharif or mentioned in Ahadith like Bukhari Sharif. Nevertheless, but it is known as Amul Huzan, the year of sadness. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala says, Ya Habib Allah, O Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I'm inviting you for a miraculous nocturnal journey. And Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was taken from Makkah Mukarramah Masjidul Haram. Haram here means the sacred masjid, the holy mosque. And Ilal Masjidul Aqsa, to Aqsa Al Mubarak. Aqsa means the place very, very, very far. You see in Surah Yasin, وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ يَسَى. There was a person from the corner of the town, far away. He came running, and he was Habib Najjar, the carpenter, telling his people, listen to the Anbiya and prophets and messengers. So Aqsa means far, far away, a distance away. Nevertheless, so in that context, it means the sacred masjid, the holy mosque, and is mentioned 15 times, 15 times in the Noble Quran. فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. You turn your face, O Ya Rasul Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your Mubarak countenance towards Masjidul Haram. And for me and you, the plural is used. فَوَلُّ وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرَ. Turn your faces. Turn your faces in the direction of Masjidul Haram. Towards Makkah, it means the Baytullah, the Kaaba Musharrafa. So remember that whole area there is called Masjidul Haram, the Makkah, Mina, Muzdalifa, all that the Haram area. Because Quran Kareem states, فَلَا يَقْرَبُ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامِ بَعْدَ عَامِهِمْ هَذَا. After this year, the ninth year, no non-Muslim is allowed. So in the Haram area. But for our Qibla, remember it means that we have to face the Baytullah, the Kaaba, Musharrafa, not that you go face Mina or Muzdalifa or somewhere. Another issue we should know is haram. When I say this is haram, alcohol is haram, swine is haram, that means unlawful, totally prohibited. So always we have to look at the text and the context, and in that way we can draw a distinction. If you study Bukhari Sharif, you will find there were Sahaba radiallahu an, and Allah Ta'ala is so pleased with them, as mentioned and enshrined in the Noble Quran, that their name was haram. Today the Ummah is such, if you keep your son, your grandson's name haram, people will start smiling and laughing. What kind of name is this now? What type of name? But haram, they mean sacred and holy. Haram radiallahu anhu is Anas radiallahu anhu's uncle, and the arrow goes through him. The blood is gushing out. He raises his hand in the how we raise our hand when we make dua and beg and petition Almighty Allah. And that blood, and now the palms are filled with the blood. He smears his face with that blood. His last words before he meets Almighty Allah, Fustu wa Rabbil Kaaba. I am successful. I take qasam of Almighty Allah, to whom the Baytullah, the Kaaba Musharrafa belongs to him, Almighty Allah, and the entire universe belongs to him. So imagine these were beloved Sahaba radiallahu an, taking an oath that they're successful, but the blood is oozing out and gushing out. Therefore, O Ummah, keep these type of names haram, and in the meaning of sacred and holy.
Okay, for that, Mufti Sahib, our next question is pertaining to the Aqiqah. Mufti Sahib, if the Aqiqah was not done on the seventh day, what happens then?
No problem. Today we know that there are many challenges. Women give birth and then the baby has to stay there in hospital and so forth and so on. And then everything gets delayed also because people are worried now about the condition of the baby and whatever. Let's give you an example. Today is Sunday. MashaAllah, you gave birth today, my sister, my daughter. So next week, Saturday, remember, will be Ayom Asabi, the seventh day. For whatever reason, you could not do so on that Saturday coming, next week, Saturday, right? Inclement weather or whatever else the reason was. So we find a hadith in Bayhaqi. You must remember Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you can't do on the seventh day, then Rabi Ashar on the 14th day, the next Saturday. Saturday, and if you can't do the second Saturday, then the third Saturday. So it carries on like that, mashallah. So obviously, the sooner you do it, the better it will be. And remember, for the boy, it will be two goats or two sheep, and for the girl, it will be one goat or one sheep. And remember, it is thanksgiving to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, and Amitu Anhul Adha, and any impending harm that was coming towards the child, when we perform and make the sacrifice, the aqiqah, then remember, it removes that harm as well. And all these ahadith you will find in Mishkat Sharif, in various compilations, Mustad Ahmad and so forth, whole chapters you will find on them. One point here I want to make, remember, is not compulsory, but it is something ulama have written, and you call this mimbabil adab, the etiquettes. Especially when you study the Shafi'i school, then they have mentioned this in various books of theirs. They say that when you, oh father, mother, grandparents, uncle, whoever, you're doing and performing the aqiqah on behalf of your son, daughter, grandchild. So in a case like that, now when you are slaughtering and now the animal is there, so leave the meat in big, big chunks. Don't make it small, tiny pieces. So they ask, now why should we leave it in big chunks? So they say, this is mimbabit tafa'ul, to take a good omen. Ya Allah, this baby of ours, this son, this daughter of ours, this grandchild of ours, when he, she grow up, never show us such a scenario, Ya Allah, where they are involved in an accident, and their body is lying in pieces, the hand is here, the legs are there, and the head is there. You see sometimes gruesome accidents now. They Allah protect us and grant us hifazat, protection and hifazat, all under his hifazat. Fallahu khayrun hafidha wa huwa arhamur rahimin. Surah 12 verse 64. However, it doesn't mean to make small pieces of haram or anything. No, it is afdal, it is better you leave it in big chunks. Especially the Shafis have mentioned this. So it's something that we all should try and learn as well, because many a time when our forefathers, they made the aqiqah, mashallah, what good intention, but now we got so much technology and so forth. So when our wives give birth, daughters give birth, then mashallah, we should learn about this type of issues here as well. Another issue, remember that Aqiqah, Shafi'is and them say that the meat should not be given to non-Muslims, only Muslims. And Hanafis say it can be given to Muslims or non-Muslims. So these are important issues that you, the Ummah, should know about. Allah grant us tawfiq.
Is there any advice for a family that has been disunited, as well as du'as for this particular family for unity?
Remember, my dear brother, sister, dua alone does not work. Remember that people say, give this dua, this dua. With dua, you need dawa also. You need some medication. So the medication, I'm not speaking about the medication the doctor and the physician gives you. I mean that some practical steps. So let us see what the Quran Kareem speaks of unity and how we can obtain this unity. Everything you will find in the noble Quran. Inna alladhina amanu wa amilu salihati sayaj'alu lahumu rahmanu wudda. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us that when people have iman, what is iman? We believe in Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. We believe in Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Quran Sharif, Sunnah Mubarakah, all the articles of faith, and then we remove all the skepticism and doubt. Remove that. Then Almighty Allah states, wa amilu salihat, you continue with the righteous deeds and actions. Sayaj'alu lahumur rahmanu wudda. Soon Almighty Allah is Rahman, is Rahim, very, very merciful. And Allah will give you wood. Allah will give you the true love, the compassion. And they will love you for the sake of Almighty Allah. Surah Maryam, chapter 19, verse 96. See Allah giving us the divine prescription. Oh, daughter-in-law, mother-in-law, Just giving a card, giving a gift. That's good to give a gift. But you must remember that you have to do good actions also. We have to change our ways also. In the darkness of the night, cry to Allah for mother-in-law. Cry for daughter-in-law. Cry for husband. Cry for children. And cry for the family. And then see how Almighty Allah's mercy will come. The house will change into a home. And the home will become Dar es Salaam, a home of peace, tranquility, serenity, tranquility. So that is how. Did you read 99 names of Allah today, O brother, O sister? So daily read the 99 names of Allah, chapter 7, verse 180. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. Invoke the beautiful, wonderful names of Almighty Allah. Hadith Bukhari Sharif, Tirmidhi Sharif, مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Whosoever reads these 99 names of Allah, Allah Jalla Wala will give you, grant you unity and love. And read, Ya Wadood, Ya Wadood, Ya Wadood. Oh, husband, wife, remember, brothers, sisters, parents, children, you want unity? Three things you must remember about unity. Number one, unity will come on truth. You can't unite with people on batil. Remember that. There are so many deviant groups and people today with crazy ideologies. We can never ever unite with them. Number two, that the unity must be based, remember, on haq, and you bring about tawadu, humility, that you give in your rights and give preference to the other person. So you, the husband, keep your heart magnanimous and agree with your wife and see there'll be unity. You, daughter-in-law, agree with your mother-in-law, then there will be unity. So number one, there must be truth. Number two, there must be humility. And number three, there must be du'as and crying to Allah. That is how you will enhance the family ties and the unity and solidarity. So we read, Ya Wadood, Ya Wadood, Allahumma Alif Baina Qulubina. Ya Allah, unite our hearts. When the hearts are united, you both go in the same direction, and then you see how you can go over all the turbulence and overcome all the difficulties and turbulence in life.
Allah khairan to Mufti Sahib. That brings us to an ad break. After the ad break, we continue with the Q&A.
You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to this afternoon's Q&A program on the sixth day of Zulqa'dah 1441. Our very next question for Mufti Sahib. Mufti Sahib, this person says that they have a very strange feeling like they're going to be losing their memory and so on. What is Mufti Sahib's advice? What must they do?
Remember, brother, that shaitan is our enemy, and you get shayateen in human form and in jinn form, and their function is this, to bring about waswasa. You know the surah yourself. You waswisu fi sudurin nas min al jinnati wan nas. So they bring all these doubts and suspicion, whisperings of shaitan, you call it. So now you think you're going off your mind, off your rocker. You think you're going to lose your memory. You think that this evil, bad thing is going to happen. So what must we do, my brother? La yuhafidu alal hudu'i illa mu'min. Mustafa rahmatul alameen sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us a beautiful hadith in Ibn Majah. Stay in hudu, and staying in hudu is the function of a true believer. So 24 hours we can't be in hudu. We have to sleep, fulfill our needs, what have you. But as far as possible, stay in hudu. And from the 24 hours, 10 hours, 15 hours, mashallah, and that will then be protecting you from the waswasa of shaitan. Number two, whenever the negative thoughts come, wa imma yanzaghannaka min ash-shaytani nazghun, is billah, then say a'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. So whenever negative thoughts come, say a'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Third one, that when all these type of things get hold of you, give out some charity. So when the shaitan realizes that he's losing, you doing good deeds, so automatically all these negative thoughts will disappear and so forth. Never give up your good deeds. Always continue and increase with it. That will will break the back of shaitan. So always remember that. So these are all the whisperings of shaitan, my brother. And inshallah, the more dhikr you make, the more tilawat of Quran you make, Allah Jalla wa Ala will increase your iman and your memory. Everything will increase. And inshallah, the waswasa, whisperings of shaitan will disappear.
I mean, Mufti Sahib, at the time of Fajr or after Salatul Fajr, is preference given to the morning Dhikr, Du'as and Askar or to Surah Yasin?
Remember that Surah Yasin you should read in the early part of the morning when Fajr time starts, Tahajjud time, after Fajr, before Fajr, it's flexible. The hadith is mentioned by Imam Darimi, Rahimahullah, Man qara'a Surah Yasin. Man qara'a Surah Yasin fi sadrin nahar. Whosoever recites Surah Yasin in the early part of the morning, so qudiyat hawaijuhu, so the needs will be fulfilled. And me and you, O Ummah, that nowadays is lockdown and so many things, you see some schools are open and closed and so many things happening. See, I give you the references. Every one of you, my esteemed listeners, you must take up this challenge. Your father, your mother was there. I was there when my father, mother passed away. Allah Jalla wa Ala grant them Jannatul Firdaus. And they tell you certain words. So how much importance we attach to it. Now this is Rahmatul Lil Alameen, Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam telling us, Lawadid to annaha fi qalbi kulli insanin min ummati. O Ummah, male, female, adult and child, every one of you, you should by heart the surah. Surah to Yasin, chapter number 36 and 83 verses. People can by heart so many soccer, cricket and satanic things. So how come we cannot by heart Surah Yasin? That is the tamanna, the wish, the ardent desire of Habib. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So daily by heart, memorize Surah Yasin. You want reference? Musnad al-Bazzar. Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, لَوَدِدْتُ أَنَّا فِي قَلْبِ كُلِّ إِنسَانٍ مِنْ أُمَّتِي. Every person should by heart the surah, another surah. It's my heart's desire, my ardent desire. Mustadrak Hakim's hadith regarding Surah Mulk, Tabarak al-Ladhi. So Ummah, don't waste time and kill time. We see young people living this world, old people living this world. Imagine the Master alayhi salatu salam is pleased with us. Tomorrow we're not hafiz, but we're hafiz of Surah Yasin, we're hafiz of Surah Mulk, Tabarak al-Ladhi, chapter 67, 30 ayats. Allah Jalla wa'ala out of his benevolence say, go and stand with the Huffaz, at least you by hearted what Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted you to do. So many things we can do. So inshallah Allah, tomorrow you start, and inshallah you start by hearting Surah Yasin, Surah Mulk. So before Fajr you read Surah Yasin, after Fajr you read Surah Yasin, then you continue with your tilawat of Quran, you continue with your ma'amulat. Every day you must have certain pattern. I give you 2-3 things. Number one, you should be reading the 99 names of Allah. So that should be part of your routine, your ma'amul. You should be reading Salawat Alan Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam 100 times, 40 times, 50 times. So part of your ma'amul that should be. Then remember that certain du'as you should be reading. So in that way you have a set structure. And then 12, 15 minutes or so after sunrise, you read your 2 rakat, 4 rakat, ishraq namaz, salatul duha, chash namaz also you can read. So all these are actions that are permissible and flexible. Then see, your day will become much more meaningful. And every one of you who still does not know Surah Yasin and Surah Mulk by heart, remember that it's a win-win situation. Let me give you 4-5 ahadith regarding Surah Yasin. Number one, man qara'a Yasin fi sadrin nahar qudiyat hawaiju. Read in the early part of the morning. Tahajjud time, before Fajr, after Fajr, before sunrise, after sunrise. The earlier you read, the better it is. Iqra Yasin ala mautakum. When you read Surah Yasin, make intention for your disease. You lost your father, mother, children, siblings, whoever. The entire ummah, you make intention for them. The hadith in Musnad Ahmad, Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah. Third one, Imam Malik brought the hadith in Muwatta Malik. Man qara'a Yasin fi laylatin ibtigha'a wajhillah. Whosoever reads Surah Yasin at night, at at night, after Maghrib, after Isha, anytime. Solely, only for the love and pleasure of Almighty Allah, ghufira lahu, he'll be forgiven. Then I told you the hadith now in Musnad al-Bazzar, لَوَدِدْتُ أَنَّهَا فِي قَلْبِ كُلِّ إِنسَانٍ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي, that you should buy a hearty of Ummah. So look at Yasin, you look at Surah Tabari, you look at Tirmidhi Sharif, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَلْبًا وَقَلْبُ الْقُرْآنِ Surah Yasin. Everything has a heart and a nucleus, and the nucleus and the heart of the noble Quran is Surah Yasin. Read it once and you reap the reward as though you read the entire Quran Sharif 10 times. I went to Darul Zakaria today to my honorable Ustad and Sheikh Hazrat Mufti Rizaul Aqsa. When I drive from there and I come back, so it's 7 minutes, 8 minutes, 9 minutes, depending now. So I read all Surah Yasin, I'm back. So imagine, not once a day, we can read twice, thrice a day also, and see how Almighty Allah will envelope us with His special, special mercy. So each one of us, make sure every day in our life, at least once, daytime, nighttime, we read Surah Yasin, and it's a win-win situation.
Mufti Sahib, our very next question, is it permissible to have ayats, inscriptions, Quranic ayats at entrances and exits of homes, of businesses? And I've also seen on many driveway gates as well, Hamim, La Yunsarun, as well as other ayats. Is this permissible?
Yes, it is permissible. However, three things we should take cognizance of, that write such type of verses, or that, you know, Quranic verses that will bring about barakah and hifaza. For example, Ayatul Kursi. Very good. Allahu la ilaha illa wa lal qayyum. We know that even the shaitan runs away when surah, when Ayatul Kursi is read and so forth. Second one is this, that you read, you write down the Hamim la yunsarun, you get the frames. So the hadith in Tirmidhi, that it was a code word that was used by the Sahaba at a time of war, that the enemies must not be granted assistance and help from Almighty Allah. So that also is acceptable. However, that in our bedrooms and so forth, we know where some gymnastics and all that takes place there. So we should not place the Quranic verses there. We undress there and a lot of other activities take place. So we must not disrespect the Quran Sharif and the ayat of the noble Quran. Surah 22, Surah Hajj, and that is verse 32. وَمَنْ يُعَذِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ, whosoever shows respect to the landmark, the symbols of Allah. So every verse is a sign and a symbol of Almighty Allah. So we must show respect and reverence to that. For innaha min taqwa al-qulub, then that will show that we have taqwa through piety in the inner recesses of our hearts. So not in our bedrooms, but other places, mashallah, for barakah and blessing, for hifada and protection. So all that is fine, there's no problem with that. And hamim la yunsarun also is acceptable. However, we must remember, sometime I can't believe what people do, you know, that they got their big shaitani box TV and then they put the Quran Sharif on top of that. Now what are we trying to do? That which is showing pornography, that which is showing nudity, that which is showing alcohol and gay brigade and all haram activities, on that we put the Quran Sharif. So remember that, that is now showing utmost gross disrespect to Kalamullah. When we show gross disrespect to Allah's Kalam, Allah deprives us of that Quran Sharif and the barakat of it. So show respect. One is the crime and one is to show disrespect. So there's double, triple crime involved. So Allah Ta'ala give us hidayat to understand our deen properly.
Mufti Sahib, upon whom is Qurbani compulsory?
Excellent question. We know that today in South Africa, it is the 6th of Zulqa'dah, and in Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwara, Aqsa Al-Mubarak is already the 7th, exactly 1 month left for Hajj. Hajj starts on the 8th of Zulhijjah, and then you know that Qurbani will come. The days of Qurbani are the 10th, 11th, 12th, and Imam Shafi says the 13th also. He's the only one who says that. So people, and you can just look at the adverse words are flying around on the social media and newspapers and what have you. So, what is the ruling regarding Qurbani? The proper term, again, let us learn that Qurbani ma yadqarrabuka ilallah. Qurbani means that action that will bring you, draw you closer to Almighty Allah and Allah's mercy and Allah Ta'ala's divine assistance. So the term Qurbani is perfect, is used in the Quran. Biqurbanin ta'kuluhu an-nar. In the days of the pre-Islamic days, like, you know, in the olden days. So you must remember when people used to make qurbani, then a fire would come and burn it. And that was a sign that the qurbani is accepted and by Almighty Allah. For us, alhamdulillah, we can eat it, we can feed others and so forth and so on. So the proper term, if you want to use, is called udhiya. Sahaba came, Ya Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, هذه الأضاحي يا رسول الله. What is this أضحية؟ أضحية singular, أضاحي plural. قال هي سنة أبيكم إبراهيم. It is the sunnah of your spiritual father, خليل الله إبراهيم عليه السلام. وما لنا فيها يا رسول الله. Okay, we will slaughter the goat, the sheep, or cow, or camel, or whatever you. But what will we receive in exchange? لكل شعرة حسنة. In exchange of every hay, you will receive the reward, millions of reward. Hadith mentioned in Musnad Ahmad. Now the academic discussion, and this is important. When we went to the Hanafi scholars and asked them, Ma hukmul udhiya? What is the ruling regarding Qurbani udhiya? They said wajib. Is wajib for me? Is wajib upon my wife? Is wajib upon my son, my daughter, and those who are baligh and mature? So upon all of them. Why? Because you look during those 3 days, the 10th, 11th, 12th of Zulhijjah, that you got enough money, you got so many extra things, your extra clothes, your extra shoes, all that, and extra cutlery, crockery, all that you will take inside. And you don't have to worry about 1 year and so forth. And you're not a musafir, so Hanafi say, now it's wajib upon you. So it's compulsory upon me and my wife and my son, my daughter, who are sane and mature and so forth. So that is Hanafis. So we went to ask the Hanafis, fine, you said it's wajib and compulsory. Manidda'a shay'an fa'alay dalil. When you claim something, we want evidence. So they gave from Quran and they gave from the Sunnah. Or Quran Sharif says, Faswalli li rabbika wa nahar. That go and perform your Eidul Adha Salat. You go to the Eidgah, you go to the Masjid, wherever, and then you slaughter, sacrifice. Nahar. Nahar is you slaughter the camel standing. Or you make, you know, slaughter the goat, the sheep, or cow. That is called Zabah. And Tazbahu Baqarah. So it is wajib. Al Amru lil Wujub for compulsion. Second one, the hadith is mentioned in Ibn Majah, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man wajada sa'atan. The person has the means. He's got enough money, resources, assets, all that to perform the qurbani. فَلَمْ يُضَحِي. And yet he did not make the udhiya, the qurbani, locally or overseas. فَلَا يَقْرَبَنَّ مُسْوَلَّا. Don't even come near our Eidgah and so forth for your Eid Salat, because you don't even make intention to slaughter. So hadith is there, very strong wa'id and warning. So we go to the Shafi'is, Maliki's, Ambalis, and them. They say, no, that look at the hadith I quoted to you. Ma hadhi al-adahi ya Rasulullah, qala ya sunnatu abikum Ibrahim. And when you look at Sahaba and them, all of them would not slaughter. So they say, sunnatu muakkada al-kifaya. So for example, you are Shafi'i. Now we are in Kimberley, in Cape Town or Durban or wherever. So in that town there, 1-2 people slaughter goat, sheep. So they will reap the reward and everybody else will be absolved of it. That is the Shafi'i school. The Maliki say that if one person slaughters in the family, it will suffice for the whole family. So meaning, according to all three schools, the Shafi'is, the Malikis, and the Hanbalis and them, it's a very flexible issue that if few people do so, it will suffice. But Hanafis are very strict on it. and I gave you the verdict how the Hanafis work and so forth. So both sides have their dalail and evidence and proof. So that is as far as the ruling goes. However, we spend so much money, just take now, on our clothing, on our shoes, and on your chocolates and sweets and grandchildren and children. One balloon and toy goes into thousands of rands. So much our life, we just spend 1,000 rand or more, 2,000 rand. And this is for Qurbani. And we want to now attract the mercy of Allah. So remember, it's a golden opportunity. So don't look for excuses not to perform the Qurbani. Look for the opportunity to say, yes, I will perform the Qurbani, because it will draw me no closer and nearer to Almighty Allah. Just look at the Ummah. People never ate meat for 6 months, for 1 year. At least with our Qurbani, somebody can eat some meat and enjoy some beautiful Eid, Eidul Adha and so forth. So it is a win-win situation. So from now, start saving the money and make the arrangements, inshallah.
Mufti Sahib, when following the Imam for the Dhuhr and Asr Salah, must one read their own surahs?
Remember that when you follow the Imam, whether it is the loud Salah, Fajr, Maghrib, Isha, or the soft Salah like Zohar, Asr, according to Hanafis, you keep silent. Allahu Akbar, the Imam says, you say Allahu Akbar and you must move your lips, remember that. Thereafter, you read Subhanakallahumma and then you silent, you don't read Surah Fatiha. You don't read surah. When the imam goes into ruku, you say Subhan Rabbil Azim. When he comes up from ruku, then you say Rabbana lakal hamd, Rabbana walakal hamd. Anyone? Then sajda Subhan Rabbil A'la. And then after the second rakat, At-Tahiyyat. But you will not be reading Surah Fatiha or a surah once you are behind the imam, according to the Hanafi school. However, according to the Shafi'is, you must read Surah Fatiha behind the imam in every rakat. Remember that. So behind the imam, whether you are in Fajr, Zohar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, you must read Surah Fatiha, and that's compulsory according to the Shafi'i. Now we go to the Maliki and Hanbali school. They have a wonderful way of tawfiq and tatbiq. They reconciled everything. So how they reconcile everything? They said that when you're reading Fajr, Maghrib, Isha, then you remain silent and you just listen to the imam, you don't recite anything. But when you're reading Zohar, Asr behind the imam, then the Maliki and the Hanbali school say that you perform and you read Surah Fatiha. So that is called tawfiq, tatbiq, they reconcile everything. So three mazahib. Hanafis, you don't read any qiraat, Surah Fatiha, Surah behind the imam. Shafi'i, second school, you must read your Surah Fatiha. Nothing else, you must read Surah Fatiha every rakat behind the imam. And the Hanbalis and Malikis, they say in Zohar Asr, you perform and you read the Surah Fatiha. And in Fajr, Maghrib, Isha, you remain silent. So this is how, إِنَّ مَخْتَلَفُوا لِأَجْدِ الْحَقِّ وَمَخْتَلَفُوا فِي الْحَقِّ. This is how you have the difference of opinion among the fuqaha and the jurors. Jazahumullahu khaira. Did you ever read two rakats salat for them? Read two rakats, Ya Allah. What? They gave their life so that we could understand Deen of Islam. Remember these type of things. So you show appreciation, Ya Allah. You know, when I said my Mufti Rizaul Laksab, then you think of his teacher, then you go to Sahaba, you reach Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is our deen. It has a chain that goes back right to the Master Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the Quran Sharif goes back to Almighty Allah. So at least once in a lifetime, read sometime two rakat Salat for all these great, great people who dedicated their lives for the Deen of Islam.
Mufti Sahib, which are the Sunnah surahs to recite in the Fard of Jummah Salah?
We find that Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam normally used to read that Surah Sabbihisma Rabbikal A'la after Surah Fatiha, and Surah Ghashiya Hal Ataka Hadithul Ghashiya. Occasionally Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to recite Suratul Jumu'ah also, the entire Surah Jumu'ah, and that is chapter 62. And remember, there are 11 verses there. And in the second rakat, Surah Munafiqun, chapter number 63. And that day you will find also 11 verses there. So that was sometimes Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to read. The other 3 weeks ago or so, Sheikh Abdullah Awad al-Juwani. You know, I sit here in the studio and I translate the khutbah. The khutbah was so short, I got a shock, you know. I said, this mota finished the khutbah in 7-8, less than 10 minutes. So he read so long qiraat, he read the whole surah Jumu'ah, and then he read the whole surah Munafiqun, so he covered it up like that. So mashallah, to revive the sunnah. So those of you who are imams on a Jumu'ah, and you want to read the sunnat qiraat after surah Fatiha, subbih isma rabbikal a'la, and thereafter, hal ataka hadithul ghashiyah, or you read the whole Suratul Jumu'ah, make sure it's not end of the month, the trustees and the people will get mad with you. So anyway, that is just, you know, sometimes you must look at, be practical also. So anyway, that you read the whole Suratul Jumu'ah and read the whole Surah Munafiqun in the second rakat, that is authentic hadith. Open Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad, you will find all these type of things. But obviously the imam should also, you know, look at the other ahadith. Man amma min فَلْيُخَفِّفِ الصَّلَاةِ Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you are the imam, then sometimes you must shorten the qiraat and so forth, because people are old, people are sickly and so forth and so on. So it's halat, look at the circumstances as well.
When and where are du'as most readily accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Remember that the times and the places when du'as are accepted. Let's look at the times first. So tahajjud time, Allah give us tawfiq, we wake up 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 4:30. You read tahajjud, and at that time it's you and Almighty Allah, you're pouring your heart out. So that's one time definitely du'as are accepted, and Allah loves it when the tears are rolling down. Then you find Jumu'ah on a Friday between Asr and Maghrib, du'as are accepted. Similarly, you must remember on a Wednesday between after Zuhur and Asr, the hadith is mentioned by Imam Bukhari in Al-Adabul Mufrad. Likewise, after the first salat, remember, Ay dubura kudu salawat in maktuba. So that has two meanings, in the ending of the first salat or immediately after the first salat, both ways you can do that. So these are the times that du'as are accepted. Then remember that which places the du'as are accepted, in Makkah Mukarramah, Madina Munawwara, and when we are in Sisda. أقرب ما يكون العبد من ربي ووساجد فأكثروا فيه الدعاء. Authentic hadith mentioned in Sahih Muslim. Oh Muslim, when you are in Sizda, then you pour your heart out. Ya Allah, I want health. Ya Allah, I want Hajj. Ya Allah, I want to go for Umrah. I want to go to Diyar Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, I want to get married. Every day I'm receiving messages. Which dua, please? I want to get married and so forth. You know. So many youngsters want to settle down and so forth. So never become mayus, despondent and disillusioned in the mercy of Allah. Go into sajda. Sajda, if you are reading in salat, then it must be in Arabic. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. Ya Allah, grant us such spouses and children that are the coolness of the eyes. Out of salat, in any language, you beg Almighty Allah, you pour your heart out. MashaAllah, in the confines of your home, tahajjud time and so forth. So remember, make that also a time when you are begging Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. And remember, don't ask Allah for haram things. That how people today, they have problem with that person, and you say, Ya Allah, that let him get killed in an accident and let his bones break to pieces. So these type of du'as we can't make. People make some crazy requests, you know. So remember, ask Almighty Allah Jalla Wala for afiyat, safety, comfort for everybody, and the ummah is bleeding and suffering. So ask Allah for the ummah in Syria, in Yemen, in Palestine, and remember in Afghanistan, Iraq, so many places. Syria, you can see what is happening there. Allah Jalla Wala alleviate their plight and make it easy for them.
Mufti Sahib, is it permissible to read Salatul Janazah in the absence of the mayyit itself, be it local, national or international?
You know, nowadays the messages are coming, so and so person passed away. Our Maulana Ahmad Jasad of Azadwal, he used to come every Sunday, you know. And in his young age, he passed away. Allah Jalla Wala grant him Jannatul Firdaus and his children and for our family. Allah make easy for all of them. So today, Allah Ta'ala and so many ulama also have passed away. Allah grant them all Jannatul Firdaus. Nevertheless, that the people who have passed on, you know the family, that what the vacuum there is and so forth. But you see that the messages coming nowadays, they don't even tell you that another time. They say only the close family must come and nobody else. Because the laws are such nowadays. What times we are living in, you know. So people are asking, now we can't go for the janazah. Can we perform the janazah? For example, now I read the janazah here at home. Is that permissible? We need to go back to our sunnah. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam sahaba left Makkah Mukarrama and they came the first hijrah in Islam. Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala and other sahaba came here to Habasha, came here to Ethiopia. And there the ruler was a very, very just person, Najashi. And lo and behold, Ja'far radiallahu anhu read Surah Maryam and then he embraced Islam and his entourage and his ministers. Almighty Allah speaks of this in a noble Quran. وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ تَرَى أَعْيُنَهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ مِمَّا عَرَفُوا مِنَ الْحَقِّ. Chapter 5, verse 83. Surah number 5, Surah Maida, verse 83. When they heard what was revealed to Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their tears were flowing from their eyes. There and then they embraced Islam. He did ihsan, a favor on Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam's beloved students and companions. Then lo and behold, the master Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrates to Medina Munawwara and we find that the news, the wahi comes, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Najashi has passed away. So Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Sahaba, come, let's go out of the masjid, out of Masjid Nabawi, and there they read Salatul Janaza alal Ghaib. So Salatul Janaza in absentia. So the body Mubarak of Najashi radiallahu an is here in Ethiopia, Habasha. Mustafa rahmatulil alameen sallallahu alaihi wasallam is there in Medina Munawwara. So therefore the Shafi'is and the Hanbalis, they say yes, it is permissible to have the mayyid present, is not compulsory. That is Shafi'is and Hanbalis. And Dalil and evidence, they say this incident here and its authentic hadith, open Mishka Mustad Ahmed and so forth. Then we go to the Hanafis and the Malikis, they say no. This was min khasais in Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was only for Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hanafis and Malikis say you must have the lash, you must have the deceased body there. Then only you can perform the Salatul Janaza. When we are in Makkah Mukarrama, Medina Munawwara, so many times they announce a Salatul Janaza Al-Ghaib, for example, Hazrat Maulana Abul Hassan al-Nadwi, and so many other people. So we stand up and we read the Salatul Janaza. So you must remember that. So if you take the Shafi'i school or the Hanbali school, they will tell you permissible. But Hanafis and Malikis, when King Faisal was Shaheed in 1975, I went in 74 to Karachi. I remember that the Arabs came there in large numbers to the madrasa. And then they read Salatul Janaza for Malik Faisal al-Shaheed. So anyways, academic discussion, Shafi'is, Hanbali say permissible, Hanafis and Malikis say not permissible.
Kalohiran to Mufti Sahab. Well, that brings us now to our next break. We have approximately about 55 minutes remaining for this afternoon's Q&A program.